Welcome aboard another edition of Saturday Morning Live.
Mumia Abu-Jamal began his career as a Pennsylvania radio journalist. He spent many of his early years exposing police violence against minority communities. In 1982, he was tried, found guilty, and sentenced to death for killing a police officer. Currently, Mumia is on Pennsylvania death row, where he has been for the past 21 years. Decades later, Mumia's trial is still among the best known and most controversial death row cases. Many argue Mumia did not receive a fair trial, and evidence points to his innocence. In fact, Mumia's case has received international support from figures like Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Nelson Mandela, the European Parliament, Alice Walker, Sister Helen Prejean, Amnesty International, and many others. During the past 21 years, while he has been locked up 23 hours a day, Mumia has penned 3 books. His most recent is his first work of history, Faith of Our Fathers, an examination of the spiritual life of African and African-American people. In it, he probes the diverse spiritual life of African people, who ripped away from their motherland, resisted racism, and molded a love of freedom into religious practice. Thanks to the Prison Radio Project, we had the following exclusive interview with Mumia Abu-Jamal. He joins us by phone from SCI Green Super Maximum Prison in Pennsylvania, and I would like to welcome him to Interfaith Voices. What was your reason for writing your newest book, The Faith of Our Fathers?
In a broad sense, it was to educate young people. You write for whoever wants to read, and you never really can completely choose your audience. But it was about young people, and I began thinking about guys I meet around here who are very young who have absolutely no perception of African-American history, of African-American spiritual history. And, you know, you have to teach the young history, or else that history is lost forever.
Was one of your goals to create a new black liberation theology?
I don't think create would be the right word. I would say continue and sustain and enrich that black liberation theology. I mean, black liberation theology is what black spiritual life is, because it is a religion of resistance, whether it's Christian, whether it's Muslim, whether it's Yoruba. All of these are religions that, you know, come from the resistance movement.
You were quite politically active before being incarcerated, and many people who've worked on your campaign definitely consider you a prisoner of conscience. So, was one of your goals to encourage the traditional blending of resistance and theology?
I tend to think of when oppressed people resist that oppression, they use whatever they have at their command. I mean, when you look at, say, Irish history, I mean, the fact of them being Catholic and being oppressed by a Protestant people, the English, that religion was a nationalist kind of religion. It nurtured their spirit of resistance against an imperial force. So religion is never just religion. It is always political.
A reason I've always appreciated the perspective of liberation theology is because it resisted the taboos of keeping theology and politics so mutually exclusive. And your book certainly serves to educate readers about the history of religion and resistance. And I'm wondering what the responses have been to your book.
I've been really surprised in many ways and gratified by the responses I've gotten. I've heard from some brothers in here that they were just blown away by it. And I've heard from people, you know, brothers and sisters in the street, in the world, that they felt that it really gave them something that was missing, especially, I think, the chapter on women, which is not, I guess, projected much in terms of spiritual studies. The spiritual centrality of the female experience in life. I mean, how can you talk about human life without talking about female life? And in many spiritual disciplines, that whole dimension is ignored, in fact, made invisible.
Such a large part of your book is dedicated to the discussion of liberation theology. What are your feelings about where that theological movement is today?
Well, I think it's lost in great terms because, again, the history isn't known. When people hear about black spirituals, they don't understand that these are resistance spirituals that had hidden messages about liberation, resistance, fleeing slavery. That helps, that enriches what that really is all about. Thank you.
The book, Faith of Our Fathers, An Examination of the Spiritual Life of African and African-American People, stakes its claim in the tradition of faith in resistance, which spans the African diaspora. From Santerian priests who danced with orishas during the Middle Passage, to plantation preachers who found hope in Exodus, to Martin Luther King who encouraged the civil rights movement to follow the nonviolent teachings of Jesus, to Marcus Garvey, the prophet of the Rastafarian movement, who encouraged the African diaspora to return to their homeland, to the Nation of Islam and the Million Man March, the synergy of black theology and political struggle are inseparable. Faith of Our Fathers depicts the breadth and complexity of a history as enduring and diverse as the African diaspora itself. Perhaps James Cone, who's often credited as being the foremost authority on black liberation theology, said it best in the introduction to Mumia's book. This book is a creative engagement by one who knows existentially what it means to search for freedom from chains. I would like to thank Prison Radio Project and Mumia Abu-Jamal for speaking with us from Pennsylvania Super Maximum Security Prison, where he is still on death row.
And you're listening to CKLN. This is Saturday Morning Live. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we are on the World Wide Web. I would really like to know how many people are listening out there. But we have a show for you today. We're going to be talking about retirement with two auto workers. We're going to be speaking to an auto worker in Detroit and an auto worker here, retired auto worker from Detroit and a retired auto worker from Toronto at 12 o'clock. And at 12:30, we're going to open up the phones. Dr. Gerald Horn will be in at 11:30 a.m. as usual. The Gorilla Crew will be in at 11 o'clock with Amandla giving you information about Africa and the world. And we're going to be having a discussion about the Hot Docs Film Festival here in Toronto around 10:30. And until that time, we're going to take a little musical interlude, and you're welcome to call 416-595-1655. That's 416-595-1655. Please give us a call and let us know that you are listening.
Yeah, this song make you get around. And when you feel the groove, you're in a dancing mood. Yeah. Cause this is original dancehall style. I wanna touch your hand, just so you overstand this feeling that you feel up and down your spine is just what I'm feeling. I wanna touch your waist while we rock in one place, cause I want to rock with you as we dance into forever. Yeah.
And you're listening to Saturday Morning Live. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. We are here on www.cklin.fm. And we were listening to the music of Odell with Lorraine Reed, some local music. And the song was called Into Forever. And it's from a CD called Redemption. And you can call us at 416-595-1655, 416-595-1655. This is Saturday Morning Live. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we're going to be talking about the Hot Docs Film Festival at 10:30. We're also going to be speaking with Dr. Gerald Horn at 11:30. We're going to be speaking about, of course, what is taking place in Libya. Of course, we're going to be speaking about the new arrangement in the Ivory Coast. We're going to be talking about the quote-unquote royal wedding. We're going to be talking about Syria, the Canadian elections, and we might even talk about the playoffs, the NBA playoffs. This is Saturday Morning Live on www.cklin.fm.
I'm not gay. Bobo.
Thank you.
And you're listening to CKLN. This is Saturday Morning Live online. And we were listening to the music of Don Moye and the Sun Percussion Summit and more. And that was for Bobo. Bobo was the son of Oscar Brown Jr. And Bobo was Oscar Brown III. And we heard something called By the Rivers of Babylon. The number here is 416-595-1655. And Saturday Morning Live continues. Thank you. And you are listening to CKLN. This is Saturday Morning Live. In a moment, we're going to be speaking to Melinda Francis about the Hot Docs Film Festival. And you are listening to CKLN. This is Saturday Morning Live. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali. And joining me in the studio is Melinda Francis. Are you there? Are you there? And you are listening to CKLN. We will see you in a second. Yeah, you can do that. You're listening to Saturday Morning Live. This is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we're getting ready to begin an interview with Melinda Francis. And we are going to try to work this technology out. And this is Saturday Morning Live. And you are listening to CKLN. This is Saturday Morning Live, and I'm in the studio with Melinda Francis. Melinda Francis, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Everything is all right.
Okay, and, awesome. I'm just trying to figure out my my headphones so I could hear you.
You cannot hear me? This is Saturday Morning Live, and can you hear me? Let's take another musical break in. This is Saturday Morning Live.
You might as well try to come in here. Hear me?
And you're listening to CKLN. This is Saturday Morning Live, and you can hear me.
I could hear you. We're on the air. It's good. I can hear everything. It's awesome.
All right. This is modern technology. We are here to talk about. Last week you were here and you talked about. Your projects, and this week you're here. We're going to be speaking about the Hot Docs Film Festival, and what is hot and what is not in the Hot Docs Film Festival.
Well, there's I like to call Hot Docs documentary holiday. It's 10 days of just watching documentaries. For a documentary filmmaker, it's like a holiday. So there's a lot of good films coming up and coming in. Maybe to continue like what you just played, there's actually a film on Mama Africa. And it's basically documents. There's actually feedback. Do you hear that? Like from the other room?
Yes, I'm going to.
I'm going to just go close the door. I'll be right back.
All right. You're listening to Saturday Morning Live. This is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we are working out the kinks here at CKLN. If you can hear us, please call 416-595-1655. We really would like to know who is listening and who is not listening. So you're back.
Yeah, I'm back. That's way better. I don't hear myself in the background over there. So, yeah, Mama Africa, just to kind of play off the music you were playing earlier. And there's, it's a film called Mama Africa. And the director is Mika. It's a German / South Africa production. And it basically documents the life of South African singer and civil rights activist Miriam Makeba, featuring rare footage and extraordinary music. This film's riveted audience at other film festivals. So that's screening. I'm just trying to look at the times throughout the festival. So pick up a program, and there's actually 3 screenings. So, yeah.
What do you know about Miriam Makeba?
I know she, what do I know? I know her, I've listened to her music, and,
Did you read her book?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. She has like an autobiography, you should probably,
pick it up.
Well, I'm not saying you as an individual, but
general,
everyone should pick up her book. Did your family listen to her music? I guess everybody probably knows Pata Pata, right?
Yes. Definitely. I did listen to her as a kid, so it's sort of like a nostalgic kind of thing. What other films? There is a film that I'm really excited about, and it's called Mighty Jerome. And it was directed by Charles Officer, and I've actually I think the last time I saw him, he was filming it, so I'm pretty excited to see this film.
Harry Jerome, I remember, I've actually had the opportunity to see that film on a couple of occasions, and it's a phenomenal film because it talks about an 18-year-old black person from Canada who actually broke the world's record. And he didn't even have a coach. I mean, he went to a school in Vancouver. There were only 3 African people in the whole school, his sister and another brother by the name of Paul Wynn, who was from Toronto. And this young man did not even have a coach, and he was able to break a world record. And when I went to school, I mean, we had coaches from the 6th grade. And one of the reasons why Jamaica is dominating the sprint world today is because of a lot of it has to do with hard work and good coaches. And Harry Jerome made all of his accomplishments
with
no coach when in the beginning.
Wow.
So, I think you're right about that. That's a great film for people to see.
And there's also 3 screenings. The first one's on Friday, April 29th. That's the opening one at 9:30. I'm trying to figure out.
It says you're trying to figure out where it's going to be screened. I can't figure that out either. It just says TBLB3. So maybe that's to be announced, maybe?
Yeah. We'll try to figure that out. Yes, and what else did I see? There's also The Interrupters that was reading through, and the reason why that caught my eye because it's done by the same director who directed Hoop Dreams, which was won an Oscar, and it takes place and it follows people who are working to put an end to gang warfare in Chicago neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's directed by Steve James. Yeah, and that one has 2 screenings. And for those who don't know, a lot of this is a lot of debut for certain docs around the festival circuit, and a lot of the films that basically get screened at Hot Docs get picked up, and basically it's a center for documentary film to go on its way, hopefully to broadcast or other festivals. So yeah, so if you please check it out, check out the programs are everywhere, you could pick them up.
So you do you plan to put your work into the Hot Docs Film Festival at some point, I presume?
Yeah, the plan is, I've been involved around the Hot Docs for about probably about 7 years. I volunteered for 3 years, and then I started working during the festival. So, and it was primarily at the doc shop, what it's called, and basically a doc shop. It's a marketplace for filmmakers to show their work to broadcasters, festival programmers, and other distributors for films. So this is the first year that I'm actually going to be a delegate, and I'm going to basically solicit people who are interested in the project and helping support it, and hopefully meet, my goal is to meet a producer actually. Yeah.
Now, there was another film that we had talked about earlier, a film about Khotan. That's supposed to be,
oh, right.
That's supposed to be one of the ones that I know that you picked.
It's called Blood in the Mobile. And it basically are the minerals in the mobile phone which contributes to the violence in the Eastern Congo. The filmmaker is Frank. It's a German Danish production. I'm trying to pronounce his last name, Polanski Polison. Mm-hmm. And there's two screenings, and it's at Bloor and the Cumberland. I saw the trailer. It looks actually really good. So,
and could you talk briefly about Khotan? What do you know about Khotan? I know that is a something that a lot of people don't really know that they're using, and it's very, everyone is involved in the whole Khotan thing. Could you give people just give us an outline of what Khotan is and what it's about?
Coltan is a mineral that is used in circuit boards in electronic, and it's basically allows for a battery to hold a charge. So it's used in almost every electronic device that we have. So coltan is used in cell phones, computers, and yeah, it's something that like you don't really hear about, right? Because it's so widely used. And with the advent of cell phones and computers, that is so widespread that it's needed for like a lot of products.
Right, right.
So, yeah. Yeah, so I'm relatively new to the coltan industry, but yeah, it's pretty widespread, and everybody's has. I mean, with the advent of iPhones and these iPads, and it's used in everything. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, could we take a music break and come back? We wanted to listen to just a little bit of Marin McCabe and come right back at you, okay?
I'm a tough nigga, I'm a Sunset lights up the sky. A magical moment of life passing by. Romantic rhythms that beat through the night. Mother Nature's gift for you and I. Africa is my home.
Zambia for you.
Don't you know that home is where my heart lies? Across the ocean into the African skies. Through the hills and valleys, over the mountains. Africa is where day dawns upon our land, breathing life for the creation of man, holding treasures of beauty given for all. The African dream that touches the soul. Don't you know that home is where my heart lies? Across the ocean into the African skies. Through the hills and valleys, over the mountains. Africa is where my heart lies. This is where I'll stay. The place of my heart. Don't you know that home is where my heart lies? Across the oceans into the African skies. Through the hills and
you are listening to CKLN, and that was the voice of Marion McCabe, Mama Africa. There is a film about Marion McCabe in the Hot Docs Film Festival, and I'm in the studio with Melinda Francis, a young filmmaker here in Toronto, and she is reviewing a lot of the films, and there was a couple of more films that we wanted to highlight, and we wanted to encourage our people to check these films out.
For those hip hop heads out there, there's a film called Beats, Rhymes, and Life, Life: The Travels of Tribe Called Quest. It's on Saturday, April 30th, and it documents the band's triumphant and turbulent 20-year career as they reunite for a series of sold out gigs. So that looks good. I'm excited about that. Then there's another one, which is really, really exciting. And it's called the Black Power Mixtape, 1967 to 1975. And there's actually three screenings. Forgotten footage shot by Swedish journalists captures the vital urgency of the 60s Black Power movement in America.
And now that is, I don't want to cut you, but I just wanted to let people know that that film, I had a screener of that one as well. That has some excellent footage of Kwame Ture. At that time, he was Stokely Carmichael, mm-hmm. and Angela Davis is probably the most powerful. Bobby Seale is in Sweden, and he was standing next to a young man that grew up in my neighborhood, Masai Hewitt, who was the Minister of Education for the Black Panther Party. And that's one that all African, young African people should see, but all people in general and African people in particular is very powerful.
Yeah, and the first screening's on Friday, and then there's three screenings, so pick up a program and check that out.
There was another, what was the last one?
It was the Guantanamo.
Guantanamo, is that a Canadian?
That's an actual Canadian film. Let me just go to the Canadian section. Yeah, it's called Guantanamo Trap. Follows four lives forever changed by the infamous U.S. detention camp and witness the scars that remain as democratic values fade. Torture in its many insidious forms is described by perpetrators, whistleblowers, victims, and their defenders. And it's a Canadian film, and it also has three screenings. Well, this is like really interesting because a lot of them have three screenings. Because before it was only two.
Right?
Hmm?
That means there's no excuse.
Yeah.
To get a chance to see
more chance to see films. That's exciting.
How pricey are these films? Pricey in terms of the price, you know?
Last year it was like $12.
Which is can you get popcorn?
I don't know if popcorn comes with the ticket price. I think that's additional.
Uh-huh.
But you could also like pop your own popcorn. That's what I do. Pop uh-huh. your own popcorn and bring it to the theater.
They let you do that.
Well, you kind of have to hide it in your purse. I've done that before. Come on, everybody's done it.
That's against the law. But some laws are made to be broken, right?
Yeah.
Unjust laws, like you can't bring your own popcorn. That's unjust.
Okay, let me actually search for the ticket prices. Do people need to know that?
You're listening to Saturday Morning Live on we're on the net, www.cklm.fm. My name is Norman Otis Richmond. I'm in the studio with Melinda, and Audrey from the Gorilla Crew is warming up in the bullpen. I don't know in cricket. I don't know if they have. I don't know what the bullpen is in cricket, or if they have that in football, as in soccer. But in baseball, when someone is warming up in the bullpen, they're getting ready to do their thing. And the number here is 416-595-1655. We would love to know who is listening and where you're listening from, because we are broadcasting all around the globe. We are on the net and the World Wide Web. You should be able to catch us in Africa. And I know we have listeners in Korea, and we have listeners in South Africa, a lot of listeners in England, and hopefully we have listeners right here in Toronto. And the number here is 416-595-1655, and getting ready for Gorilla to come on and present another edition of Aman La. And my name is Norman Otis Richmond. And on May 15th, I will be celebrating the 30th year here at CKLN with, not 30th year with Diasporic Music, but I started Diasporic Music on CFNY, but Melinda is back.
Yeah, so the ticket prices are $14, but there's also passes, festival passes, for those avid thing. But regular price and ticket prices, individual films, are $14.
All right, Melinda, we're going to take a music break and let Audrey take over. We want to play a song by Sweet Honey and the Rock, a very great group that come out of the Black Power. They're not in the Black Power mixtapes, but they were part of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And the person, one of the people that put together the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee was a woman by the name of Ella Baker. And Ella Baker was a woman who had some differences with Dr. King over the women's issue. But Ella Baker was responsible for training Kwame Ture, H. Rapp Brown, and most of the men and women in the leadership of SNCC. Her name was Ella Baker, and we're going to be listening to a song that pays tribute to Ella Baker. And I would like to thank you, Melinda. And we will be back with Amanla.
We believe in freedom cannot rest. We believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We here believe in freedom, and not rest. We here believe in freedom, and not rest until the killing of black men, black mother's sons, is as important as the killing of white.
Courage, well.